putting together an audio show which entertains and educates the globe is a piece of cake. When you've got the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition teams on the case for Siren 107.3 FM and sirenonline.co.uk.
Just seen Joy Knight pass through the studio window. Well, actually, not through the window, obviously. Joy, who was a Midweek Drive editor times past, she now has wonderful, fantastic things that she's doing up on the first floor, of course, as part of the Key and Minfolk. OK, weather today, it's going to be, highs of 8 degrees centigrade, lows of 5 degrees centigrade. Yeah, all right, an early bright start. However, it'll be clouding through the morning, and by the time we get to the afternoon, there'll be persistent heavy rain. Hurrah, saith Eve, I'm sure, in Birmingham. Persistent heavy rain, that's what we need, isn't it?
Oh, all I can see is blue skies at the moment.
And that's because you have the positive outlook we appreciate on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, which is fantastic stuff. We will share that positive outlook with Katie Grimerson, because Katie G is poorly. You see what we did a little bit of that. She is. Katie G poorly. So get well soon, Katie. Hopefully you'll be back in top form, etc. Because I know she was looking forward to finding out what, Eve Thomas, you made of the NEC Birmingham, or vice versa. So go on and share with us. This is the final day of the exhibition. So if people are actually thinking, oh, I'm going to rush over to the NEC Birmingham, this is the last day it's actually on. What were you doing there? How did you find it?
Yeah, so it's the last day now. So it's been a trade show it has. So we've been taking orders from retailers all week for them to stock our brand in their outlets. So just for spreading our roots now up and down the country with our new products.
So over to our investigative journalist, Rachel Warren. New title, Rachel, you see, all sort of in there. So any questions you want to put to Eve about life, the universe, and what it's like being, you know, a graduate on the road with your own products?
Ooh, was it scary? Is it really busy then?
Some days are really, really busy. Some days it was flat out for us. We literally called in backup. My brother had to come up actually to help us out because we were so busy on the Sunday.
Yeah.
But Monday and Tuesday, there was a little bit quiet, it was a little bit calmer then, and it is the show winding down a little bit now, so I'm hoping to have a last minute surge before we go home. Mm. But the show has been brilliant. It's been our best trade show we've ever done.
Well,
you see,
and it's all coincided with you becoming a broadcasting correspondent for the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Do you see that?
Like, I think that's what's done it, yeah.
Sometimes I think we're a bit like a human four-leaf clover. It's amazing. Or an audio version. It's amazing. Gabriella Peralta is back in the house. How are you, Gabriella?
I'm all right, thanks.
Excellent. This is good. Yeah, as we said, Katie a bit poorly, so we send best wishes to Katie. Yeah, exactly. She may not.
Katie.
Exactly. She'll hopefully be listening to us. Then again, she may not be. She may be so poorly, she just can't possibly. You know, but anyway, that's positive stuff there. So moving on, quick question for you in your travelling experiences, Eve. Have you ever seen a golden eagle or a red squirrel?
No. I've seen a golden eagle in America, but that doesn't really count,
does
it, in this country?
No. Yeah. Do you think that beavers were no longer living in the wild in the UK? Have you ever seen a beaver?
Definitely not.
Yeah, no. You see, because we're going to find out the top 10 most elusive species in Britain and how they're also evading our detection. Hopefully we'll be speaking to conservationist and wildlife expert Dr. Tony Bunnell. He'll be talking after the news about that. But I just thought, obviously last night we had the animal thing going, Eve. We were talking with Gabriella about the Gibraltarian apes and the Barbary apes that are actually there. Gabriella, I'm thinking maybe Eve Thomas, Eve Victoria Candles, maybe they'd like to adopt a Barbary ape?
Maybe,
Consider actually
ship
having
them out to you.
Yeah.
Keep it as a
mascot, maybe?
I'm thinking about that. You know, an added to routine. I mean, I'm sure your mum would be delighted to actually sort of have. What is it? It's a Barbary ape, mother. You know, it's just it's wonderful. You know, it's another thought. You see, as we were trying to think about possible routines, because let's explain, Gabriella, for people who weren't listening to the show last night, or indeed haven't sort of downloaded the podcast, etc. This is an issue that you got at Gibraltar because there are 150 Barbary apes there on a 3 mile island.
Yeah, we wonder
too many apes in Gibraltar. Eve.
The tailless monkeys. I just learned that this summer.
Tailless monkeys?
I learned this summer the tailless monkeys.
Right.
So Barbary macaques, apparently.
Taylor's
been saying it wrong all my life for the past 20 years.
And they are Barbary macaques. This is very good.
Yes, I found out this summer.
Should we use eBay to actually sort of sell these? Oh, sorry, only kidding. Can't sell livestock on that basis. But we are thinking about, that was one option. We could conceivably offer them to Hollywood, because we were talking with Los Angeles
actors,
last night.
Yeah, they could be actors.
Possibly trained actors. You know, Barbary macaques would be useful. For Barbary macaques? Is that
Yeah, apparently.
Barbary macaques.
I know.
Have you got any thoughts, Eve, in terms of what you do with a Barbary macaque? You know, we want to sort of reduce the numbers in Gibraltar? And don't say shoot them, please.
You just take my answer away from me now.
I know there's no messing around when it goes to the whole thing, but please, you know.
I wouldn't know what to do with one of those.
Wouldn't know what to do. Rachel, macaque apes, Barbary apes.
I don't know what I'd do with them.
No. Do you think they'd relate well to swans?
I'm sure they'd be best friends.
I
could see an ape in the tree, a swan.
An ape in the tree, a swan on the water.
Yeah. You know, they look perfect.
Because let's face it, the swan and Lincoln have been associated for about 1,000 years or so, Bishop Hugh and so on. Maybe it's time, new millennia, new animal species, maybe the Lincoln macaque. Monkey might be there. Or indeed the Barbary macaque might be there. A tailless monkey.
Yes, apparently. I found that out when I went for a 4-hour monkey tour back at home. But everyone sort of thinks they're apes, but apparently, according to my tour guide, they're tailless monkeys. Yeah.
And you see, Eve, that's the kind of insight and in-depth reporting that hopefully you come to appreciate and sort of see as essential in terms of the way to start a Thursday morning off. You've gone very quiet, Eve. Are you still there?
Oh, sorry. Yes, sorry. Look at my taxi.
And why not? Oh, no, it's being driven by a tailless monkey. Never mind.
Maybe that's it, yes.
All right. Listen, Eve, it's been fabulous connecting with yourself again. A quick plug. Go on, let's mention it once more for Eve Victoria Candles. The website is?
www.evictoriacandles.co.uk or facebook.com/evictoriacandles, all with capital E, V and C.
Fantastic. There we are, in fact. And Rachel, back on the show, even though astonishingly, Eve, as I realised, I was sending out telepathy, I hadn't put Rachel down on the original running order, and she didn't think, of course she's needed, it's a slip, you know? We'll get her agent on board, it'd be a nightmare. But anyway, Rachel, last two questions for Eve Thomas.
Hi. Well, have you had a good telephonic link with us today?
As always, of course I have.
Oh, and will we talk to you again soon?
Yes, this time next week, no doubt.
Exactly. Where will you be there, Eve? What will you be back in Wales in the Brecon Beacons?
I will be. We're moving into a bigger unit next week, so I'll probably be up nice and early, fixing, sorting out my new unit, getting it all glammed up and ready to move premises then.
Oh, fantastic stuff. And I know that John Wenham, our diarist extraordinaire, has got tales to share about his time in the Brecon Beacons or something with respect to that. I might be completely wrong, but I'm fairly sure he did. That was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Taylor done my research within that. Oh, look, it's a tailless monkey. Of course, Mike Nesmith, Mickey DeLenz, Davy Jones and Peter Talk were indeed tailless, so I believe.
From international who's who to CNN, from film criticism to royalty, from South Africa to London, and now to the midweek drive on Siren FM, it's Richard Fitzwilliams.
Hurrah, I can hear you say Gabriella. Mentally, at least, Same with his own words, Rachel, It's Richard Fitzwilliams back on the airwaves once again, and rightly so. And, Richard, an intriguing week. I mean, obviously, sad news with respect to Philip Seymour Hoffman. And you've been quite busy actually doing some on-air tributes with other radio stations and so on over the last few days.
With television and radio tributes, absolutely. And I think what was encouraging in this tragic news, I mean, was the concentration of most of the reports, as it should have been, on his work. That was amazing, because he was one of these actors, comedian-like, he could inhabit a role. He was a character actor who invariably was superb. And if you actually consider the range of roles that he played, I mean, from Capote to a prankster priest in Doubt, you had this amazing CIA operative who smashed glass windows in Charlie Wilson's War, and films like The Savages and Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. I mean, one could go on and on and on. He was so good, and people realised it.
Well, let's just do a quick straw poll. Rachel, have you ever seen a Philip Seymour Hoffman piece? Are you familiar with the actor?
I have. I've seen him in Along Came Polly.
Along Came Polly.
I think
Polly.
I remember him in, yeah.
Oh, you see. So he actually said, I won't ask Gabriella because I know you're not a cinematic sort of
fan. He was in Hunger Games, wasn't he?
And indeed, they're going to work round his final. He had one more scene to shoot in the final Hunger Games setup, and they're going to work round it. So
he was Plutarch Heavensby, what a name. Oh. And yes, a very ambiguous figure, and we really will miss a screen presence that was forceful and was invariably excellent. I mean, he really was superb.
Okay, so moving on, before we actually head to the Dallas Buyers Club and how you've been hanging out with the stars at the London Film Critics Circle Awards, where do you want to take us now?
Well, very fleetingly, just a note to another actor who also died, Maximilian Schnell. Probably not one that the younger generation will know, but just a brief tribute to an Oscar winner who brilliantly played the defense counsel in Stanley, in the Judgment at Nuremberg film. I thought it was absolutely superb. And just a mention of an actor who, if you read his career, just to mention, if you do Hamlet in German, and apparently he did it very well, it must have been quite a challenge.
Wasn't he also in one of the Bergman movies, portraying in a deep sort of chess sequence, or have I got that sort of completely off base there?
I didn't know he was deaf. That was opposite Max von Sydow,
I didn't know. Yeah, yeah. Never mind. Anyway, yes, so I'm sure the casting room in Heaven FM will be doing wonders with respect to that. A bit difficult to actually do live radio links from that perspective, but who knows?
Oh, yes, indeed. A point to make, apart from the sad death of Peter O'Toole, in the last year, up to now, we've been very, very fortunate, Joan Fontaine too, but very fortunate in the fact that there haven't been many top performers who've alas left us, and hopefully that will be the case for the next year.
Well, we say that, but obviously it is a fact that, rather like taxes, the likelihood is that clogs will be popped, but never mind. You know, celebrate, that's the important thing. Celebrate the whole experience.
Oh, it was, and no question with Hoffman. I mean, it was good to see how his work was appreciated, because this was a person, if you went down the street and mentioned Philip Seymour Hoffman, a very large number of people wouldn't know who you meant. But if they were cinema goers and had seen him, they'd recognise him, all right.
Jennifer Garner, who of course was Sydney Bristow in the TV series Alias, is just one of the team who actually deals with the story of Ron Woodruff as an electrician and rodeo cowboy with a Devil May Care lifestyle, who is blindsided with an HIV-positive diagnosis and given 30 days to live. That, in a nutshell, is pretty much the Dallas Buyers Club, or
except
is it?
That you must mention his fight back, because 30 days to live, he's ostracized, but he fights back. They're testing a drug, AZT, for HIV/AIDS. It's an antiviral. He takes it and gets worse. And a person of amazing perseverance, he goes to Mexico and is given a different drug. And when he finds it works for him, which it does, he decides to make money selling it to HIV/AIDS positive patients. And there's a link with Dr. Sachs, played by Jennifer Garner, who's sympathetic to what he's doing and realizes that the current drug that they're testing in the early stages is certainly not working. And also he meets Rayon, played by Jared Leto, who's been winning awards as a transsexual. There's no doubt very, very fine performances in this film. And also a terrifying battle when dreadful killer disease is without a cure. And no doubt at all that he was initially somewhat homophobic, but nonetheless, when he manages in some scenes that are extremely memorable to get drugs across the border, he can claim, you see, legitimately that they're for his use, but of course he's selling them, and the administration wants to try and stop it. And it's a movie that it does tug at your heartstrings, but it's what is outstanding are two absolutely amazing performances. Firstly, from Matthew McConaughey, and he's won at memorably won at the Globes for a performance. He lost an amazing amount of weight. He seems to inhabit the role very, very good. And also Jared Leto as Rayon.
Now,
who,
holding you there, there's a little quote I'm going to take from what you've just said, Richard, which I think 20, 30 years ago people would have said, what? What? Jared Leto has won awards for being a transsexual. Amazing. Yeah. Would have thought it. Yeah, welcome to the 21st century. Never mind, but I just thought I'd put that in there. It's just an observation. I mean, later on we actually have Fascinating Aida, and they've got all sorts of exciting things to actually talk about with respect to Dilly Keen. Have you ever seen the perform, Richard?
I haven't, I have to admit. Aida brings back many memories of Covent Garden, or indeed at the Caracalla Ruins. I saw it performed at the in Rome before they were closed. Mm. And the horses during the triumphal procession were frightened by the fireworks and ran amok. Mm-hmm. Wonderful stuff.
They just have a piano and their own wonderful voices, but they do outrageous things with the English language and indeed a whole range of fairly interesting themes. But before we progress to how you've been rubbing shoulders with some of the cast of the Dallas Buyers Club, Rachel Warren, does Richard's general praise there suggest that you might sort of think, oh, I'll check that out, Dallas Buyers Club, it sounds interesting?
I might well do. I've seen the trailer, and I thought it looked a bit sad, though.
It is indeed sad in many scenes, but you don't often get a film with two performances of this strength. I mean, they really, really are unforgettable. I would mention, by the way, it's directed by Jean-Marc Vallée, and talk about versatility, he directed Victoria and Albert, which gave you an insight into Queen Victoria's very unhappy early life, and I think did very well, script by Julian Fellowes.
And looking at The Guardian, I see the headline, Jared Leto heckled for trans misogyny in Dallas Buyers Club. Jared Leto was heckled by an audience member during a film festival, Q&A, who accused him of trans misogyny for his portrayal of a transgender character in Dallas Buyers Club.
When you seek publicity and when you start heckling, you shouldn't get the headlines. What should get the headlines is the strength of the work. In fact, Jared Leto is absolutely excellent, but I suspect he's the obvious favourite for the Oscars, but don't let's forget, and here we move into the London Critics Circle Film Awards, Barkhad Abdi.
I haven't quite finished yet, Richard, because we haven't given Gabriella the chance to say Dallas Buyers Club. We've talked about, obviously, how to actually cope with overpopulation of monkeys in Gibraltar. What about this particular line of things? I see that one of the heckles was actually to Jared Leto from a woman in the audience. You don't deserve an award for portraying a trans woman because you're a man. I'm confused. But anyway, yes.
Yeah, that is quite confusing. I would have thought you would deserve an award then.
We're into the my left foot situation. You know, we're into Captain Hook. Do you slice the... How far do you take method acting? I don't know.
But I have to say, some of the story is a bit contrived. This film, though, was shot in 25 days. But my goodness me, it's got power, the subject. It's so sad. And indeed, I remember we discussed some months ago the documentary How to Survive a Plague, and there's no doubt also that it's impossible to be moved by this film.
Okay, so moving on now, dexterously, see the way we worked on the script, the rehearsal works so well, to the London Film Critics Circle Awards. Before we go there, Richard, let's just find out, Rachel, did you even know the London Film Critics Circle Awards actually existed?
I can't say I did, no.
No. Gabriella?
No.
So is it a series of awards for London film critics, Richard, in a circle?
It's a series of awards where there are various sections of the critics' circle. This is the film section, and this was star-studded, because, I mean, from Andy Serkis to Naomi Harris, from John Hurt to Gary Oldman, from Steve McQueen to Clio Barnard, from Barkhad Abdi, who played the pirate in Captain Phillips, to Lindsay Duncan and Paul Greengrass, and I had the pleasure of meeting all of them.
Well, I hope you've also signed them up for future correspondence.
Well, the joy of this ceremony critics usually do with a certain professional panache, so this was very much the case, they actually hand out the awards and make a few comments. The relationship between the critics and actors is not always a happy one, but this is an evening of truce, and also the celebrities mix with the audience, so that is absolutely delightful, because it's fascinating, for example, to get Paul Greengrass's take on why in Captain Phillips the ship had no weaponry aboard, and it had these ridiculous hoses, which of course if one fails we know what can happen, and so forth, and also to wish Steve McQueen well for 12 years a slave with the BAFTAs as a certain win. But
no I think you basically just need a sympathetic smile and say, well, good, nice try Steve, you know, nice try, but it's not an American hustle moment.
Certainly should not be an American hustle moment. I should be outraged. You're talking about a piece of highly enjoyable froth with bizarre hairstyles.
Enjoyable froth?
It's precisely what it was. Echoes of the Sting, and I thoroughly enjoyed the Sting, and I thoroughly enjoyed American Hustle, and I agree some of the cast were unrecognizable, but let's put it at the level where, you know, a movie to entertain, but not a great movie, not a masterpiece, and it didn't make any impression on the London Critics Circle Film Awards, I'm glad to say. 12 years...
This is the leave-aside high-low culture debate all over, you see. You know, it's a case of arguing, I'd say critical snobbery, you know. I mean, as we said, it's got Amy Adams in, and it's got Jennifer Lawrence. That's the equivalent of having Rachel Warren and Gabriella Peralta on the same radio show. I mean, it's a winner, you know?
Well, that's an unarguable case, I have to say. Except that, just by reciting lists of names, only just first-class performers, if only a list of them meant the film was going to be good, of course it invariably doesn't. Sometimes there are problems, and insofar as American House was concerned, I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a good yarn, it was colourful, good period sense.
We've got Captain America Winter Soldier coming up shortly, so that's all.
But what we've also got with the Critics Circle, just to mention, there were certain awards, Film of the Year, 12 Years a Slave, Director of the Year, Alfonso Cuarón, for, you know, Globe Gravity was amazing, and this may be a pattern repeated at the Oscars. Screenwriter of the Year, the Coen brothers for a wonderful take on Greenwich Village music scene in the 60s.
Inside Llewellyn Davis.
Yes, and Foreign Language Film of the Year, I'm thrilled to say, Blue is the Warmest Colour was the winner, but it hadn't even been nominated at the Oscars, to my horror. Actress of the Year, predictably and rightly, Cate Blanchett for Blue Jasmine. The Actor of the Year, Chiwetel Ejiofor, 12 Years a Slave, absolutely superb. Documentary of the Year, The Act of Killing, about mass killings in Indonesia. Film hard to watch, I have to say. And Gary Oldman, getting a very well-deserved Dillis Powell Award for Excellence in Film, and very, very interesting too.
Just very briefly, Gabriella, you may not be familiar with the legend that was Dillis Powell, but her hats were phenomenal. You didn't want to be sitting behind one of Dillis's hats.
Were they big hats?
I think she liked her hats. I mean, Richard, you might want to disagree with me on this one, but I always used to think hats with respect to Dillis Powell, very much hats.
Well, it may have been hats. It was also, of course, let's forget the excellence of the writing. And there are certain critics who make a mark. Alexander Walker of the Evening Standard was another. But Dillis Powell, there was something about her writing that just showed a love of film. And certain critics do get Roger Ebert, for example, in the United States.
Well, Sisko and Ebert, two thumbs up. These days, Claudia Winkleman tries, of course, but that's a whole new film ballpark. But still, let's continue.
Yes, it is.
Don't get me started on Mark Kermode and indeed the joys of Barry Norman. You see, I almost forgot.
But Barry Norman, I mean, I always thought, you know, when he, I thought with a certain expertise, a certain simplicity, but also there was the fact that he was rather like a friend talking in your living room to you. Wow. And there was something about Barry Norman that the current film program simply doesn't have for me. And he became, obviously, somewhat of a national figure, but I loved his style, and it's always a pleasure to come across, and there are many of them, Barry Norman articles on various aspects of film. A pleasure always to, but sometimes to see him, and always to read him, but I mean, for years he was almost part of the family, and when film as it were, gets into the home, and when there's a personality who's well-known who talks about it, then I'm all for it. Well, I mean, Mark Kermode has managed one absolutely remarkable feat, and together with the news channel, and that is he has, on, I think, Fridays and Sundays, very substantial, something like 10-minute segments that, you know, are easily accessible so that people often keep up to date with what's on in the large screen, because 80% of film experience is, of course, on the small screen, what you can download and so on, and naturally I'm all for as many as possible, and there are more going to the large screen for the experiences. I'm sure you agree.
Well, there we have it. Rachel, we mentioned a lot of film critics there. Does the name of film critic, obviously apart from Richard Fitzwilliams, does it have any impact at all in terms of your sort of decision to whether to go and see a movie or not?
Critics in general, yes. In general, yes. I tend to read reviews and see what's going on and what people think.
All right. Gabriella?
Yeah, if it's got, if it's criticised in the newspaper and stuff, I won't watch it, kind of thing.
Really?
I don't know, maybe, yeah. If they say it's a really bad film, why are you going to watch it?
Well, because they might be wrong.
But maybe they're right.
I mean, you know, case in point, Quantum of Solace, you know, I think it's just worth considering. But anyway.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, yeah, okay. You're being deliberately provocative and outrageous.
Well,
very good. Very good.
I feel it's in the sense of Philip Seymour Hoffman, you know, from that point of view. It's still keeping that line going.
Oh, yes, it's important, but, I mean, the main thing, as I'd say, I'd suggest, is if you get a critic who very broadly has tastes similar to your own, if you do enjoy reading them, I mean, that's what's important, because obviously if you've got someone who takes different views, then you could have the sort of experience that very occasionally I get when you go to see a film. I go for obvious reasons of review, but you go to see a film and you come out hating it. I mean, there's so much to see, and it's wonderful to see it on the large screen as it was intended. And there was a film which I'm happy to say did not win British Film of the Year. It was won by the Selfish Giant, Cleo Bernard's charming film, beautifully made. This was a field in England. It was a dreadful film. You'd have to eat magic mushrooms to appreciate the nonsense going on there. And that was released on simultaneously in the same day on the screen, large screen, small screen, and DVD. And, I mean, if we're going in that direction, it will happen more often. But I certainly don't welcome it.
And obviously, in case you're wondering, obviously we would not suggest that before you actually see any movie, you should actually have any form of mushroom whatsoever.
No, but the way they made it.
Це інтернаціональний фашн-блогер Софія Бак, і ви слухаєте The Midweek Drive Morning Edition з Алекс Левчуком, а також Midweek Drivets на Siren FM.
Yeah, you see, you get a bit of a Russian Midweek Drivets coming in there. Sorry, Richard, sometimes you've got to keep the Russian oligarchs happy. It's important.
All the time, I'd suggest. You never know what might happen.
Exactly. Precisely. It's time, Gabriella, to throw those last two questions to Richard Fitzwilliams. Go, girl.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I most certainly have.
And will you be connecting with us again?
I hope so, indeed, for next Thursday, where there'll be more films to discuss.
Coming up next, Ariel Fee, talking about, well, what we perhaps get embarrassed about talking about.